Let us pray. Almighty God, you know us better than we know ourselves. By your word, give us wisdom. By your spirit, grant us healing and set us free to serve you with love. We ask this through the one who heals in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first scripture reading is selected verses out of Jeremiah. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, 'Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah, you that enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and let me dwell with you in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words, 'This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord.' For if you truly amend your ways and your doings, if you truly act justly one with another, if you do not oppress the alien, the orphan, and the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own hurt, then I will dwell with you in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your ancestors forever and ever. Here you are, trusting in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known? And then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, 'We are safe,' only to go on doing all these abominations? Has this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your sight? You know I too am watching, says the Lord."
Our New Testament reading this morning is from the Gospel as Matthew recorded it, chapter 5. "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. The lectionary readings the last 2 weeks have been challenging. We spoke about Isaiah's incredible vision of God's plan for peace, with soldiers turning their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, where everyone would have enough and be safe and secure in their having enough. We spoke about Micah's directions for how to get there. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. The problem is, it's difficult to live that way. It goes against everything that out there around us, where we keep hearing, you know, turn on the television or the radio, read the newspaper, go to the grocery store, you'll hear, greed is good, that we should hate and kill our enemies before they have a chance to do it to us, and that only the ambitious and the loud can possibly succeed in this world. These things we hear out there are not new. They are as old as Cain rationalizing killing his brother. They are the underlying philosophy, if you can call it that, behind the speech of the Assyrian noble to King Hezekiah 2 weeks ago. These things are no less wrong today than they were 2,500 years ago, but they don't come up any less. They are no less of a challenge for us in how to live than they were back when Jeremiah was walking the earth. God's people have always had an addictive relationship with all that stuff out there. We keep coming back to those things even when we know better. God could have just shaken God's mighty head at human stupidity and left humanity to its fate. But no, God loves these people even when they're being cruel and greedy and stupid. So God sent prophets like Jeremiah to tell people to change their course. And the people changed their ways for a generation or so. Then they went right back to behaving as if they were not God's people at all. They went right back to living as if being crueler and more vicious than their neighbors would make them thrive. Spoiler, it wouldn't. Spoiler, it won't. And God would send another prophet. Lather, rinse, repeat. I've just told you the story of about half of the Old Testament. The northern kingdom of Israel was conquered by the Assyrians, and the people were taken away into exile. The southern kingdom of Judah kept going in the same cycle for another 150 years. That's where we are now in our story. Being conquered by Babylon and the Babylonian captivity are coming, but they're not here yet. When God called Jeremiah, God told him that before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. God had a plan for Jeremiah before Jeremiah was even conceived. Jeremiah tries to offer up excuses, but God won't let him. God literally puts words in his mouth, telling him that his life's work will be to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. God knows Jeremiah intimately, knows him better than he knows himself, just like God knows me, and just like God knows you. God is involved with Jeremiah. God walks with Jeremiah as he comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comfortable. Just like God walks with us as we fulfill the plans that God has for us. We have free will. God does not make us fulfill the plans that God has for us. God does not force us to do the things we were born to do. And God does not force us to do things in the way that God has in mind. God does not force us to do what God has planned. But that does not mean there aren't consequences if we don't. Jeremiah stands in the door of the temple, the center of religious and social life for the nation of Judah, and he tells them to change their ways. I'm sure that to a lot of them, he looked a lot like the street preachers we see today. Now, out there with the bullhorn. Now, those false preachers that Micah complained about last week are still at work, telling the people that everything they're doing is okay. They're telling the people, this is the temple of the Lord, and that means nothing bad can possibly happen to them, no matter what bad stuff they do. It seems like powerful people can always find that kind of sycophant who claim to speak for the Lord, but who really say whatever powerful people want to hear. That hasn't changed in 2,500 years. You see, when Jeremiah looks around him, he sees a people of Judah who deceive each other and call it just business. And God's heart grieves. Jeremiah sees a people of Judah who oppress the foreigners in their midst. King Solomon drafted them into slave labor gangs to build the temple, and their status has never really recovered. And God's heart grieves. Jeremiah sees a people of Judah who oppress orphans and widows, anyone without someone strong to stand up for them. And God's heart grieves. Jeremiah sees a people of Judah who shed innocent blood. And God's heart grieves. Jeremiah sees a people of Judah who follow other gods, gods that can't possibly deliver on the promises that con men make for them. And God's heart grieves. Jeremiah tells the people that if they will amend their ways, that God will dwell with them in this place and they will be safe. But here they are, continuing to steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to idols. They then have the unmitigated gall to stand before God, who knows all this, in God's temple, and say to each other that they're safe, that the Lord will protect them from the natural consequences of their own actions. Do they believe, Jeremiah asks, that God's temple has become a den of robbers? And God notes for the record that God is watching what they do. A people who act like that are not acting like the people of God. They're not even trying to act, they're not even trying to live like God's people, not even trying to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with their God. That means that just as surely as you don't get to Cleveland from here by driving south into Kentucky, they will not end up with the future that Isaiah envisioned, the peace where soldiers beat their swords into plowshares and where everyone has enough. The directions are clear in the scriptures for anyone to read. These prophets are not superhuman geniuses who know things that no one else could possibly guess. The prophets are people who love God and who listen when God talks. If God's people are on a journey, then God has sent them prophets to point out the road signs that any of them could see if they would just look. In the 150 years between the Assyrians conquering Israel and the Babylonians conquering Judah, God sent three prophets to Judah who were important enough that we have their writings: Zephaniah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. All three of these prophets tell the people what is coming. All three of these prophets tell the people to stop putting their faith in a strong military and in treating their neighbors badly, to put their faith in God and in living like they're God's people, like living like God has told them. All three of these prophets tell God's people that if they want to be God's people, the people to whom promises have been made, promises of peace, that they need to make a course correction. If they will make that course correction, then God will be overjoyed. God will delight in them and fulfill every promise that God has ever made. If they won't make that course correction, God will not punish them. God will let things happen, though. The natural consequences of living a cruel and vicious life. the natural consequences of living a life full of violence, either physical violence or spiritual. The only way for them to avoid those consequences is to make a U-turn, change their course. These prophets did not just speak to the people of Judah, a tiny country in the Middle East thousands of years ago. The reason we have their words now, when the words of the prophets of Baal are long forgotten, is that their words speak to us today. We're still tempted by those things out there. We are still surrounded by people who devote their lives to those things out there, to greed, to violence, to oppressing and taking advantage of anyone who's not strong enough to resist. That's true on an individual level, and this is true on a societal level. Look around you. See where God's heart grieves. Thank God we have a chance to make a U-turn. Many of us make lots of U-turns in our lives, back and forth and back and forth. I pray that all of us, those of us here in this building and around the world, would do a better job of heading in the right direction together. Because, as God has told us through the prophets, that's the only way that peace is going to happen. May it be so. Amen.